Welcome to Earnestly Contending for the Faith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. The title of today's message is Doing Battle with the Devil. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9 there. Verse 8 says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Folks, the devil is our enemy. He seeks the destruction in hell of all of mankind. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. The Bible reveals to us his devices. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, it states that Satan has blinded lost folks to the gospel. How is Satan able to deceive those that are lost? Satan does it by transforming men and women into his false teachers and preachers. The Bible has this to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming them into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, the Apostle Peter refers to that transformation as damnable heresy in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Satan is a very real person to be contended with. Let's take a look at Satan in the books of Job and Zechariah. We're now going to read Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and also Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Job chapter 1, starting in verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." That's Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Now let's look at Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. That's Job chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Zechariah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That's Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Folks, Satan is just not, he's not just some evil force. He is a person. Satan's most destructive works are accomplished in Bible-believing churches. That work is focused upon corrupting the gospel and destroying the personal testimonies of Bible-believing Christians. Satan has a number of titles in the scripture. He is referred to as the serpent, the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the father of lies, the deceiver, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren, the prince of devils, the god of this world, the great red dragon, and so forth. Satan is the being behind the Antichrist, the false prophet, and every other idol and false god. The god of Islam, that wicked Allah, is referred to as the greatest of deceivers. In fact, Muslim imams say that the greatest of deceivers is one of the 99 beautiful names of their false god that they call Allah. The false god Allah is one of the greatest manifestations of Satan in the history of the world. Islam is the perfect religion for the Antichrist. By scriptural definition, Islam is Antichrist to its very core. They violently deny that God has a son. They deny that God has come in the flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. That, folks, is an outright rejection of the gospel. Islam also maintains that Judas Iscariot was crucified in the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Demon is a term that is used from some pulpits. Let's talk about what a demon is. In ancient Greek mythology, a demon is a supernatural being of a nature intermediate between that of gods and men. He or she is an inferior divinity, spirit, or genius, including the souls of ghosts of deceased persons, especially deified heroes. Demons, according to the Greek idiom, signify either angels or the souls of men, any spirits out of terrestrial bodies, the souls of saints, and spirits of angels. The first documented occurrence of the word demon in English was in 1387. Demon is not an English word. It is a transliterated Greek word. At the time of the translation of the King James Bible in 1611, there were good demons and bad demons, even in the secular world. That is why the King James translators chose to use the English word devil when translating the Greek word daimonium, which is transliterated in most versions into the word demon. In 1611, the English word devil was always attached to evil. Therefore, it more accurately describes the wicked spirits of all evil entities. The word devil came into the English language out of the Germanic tongue in about the year 800. It moved out of the Germanic language into the Old English, which we would call Anglo-Saxon, into Middle English, and finally into Modern English. 1611 English is Modern English. Devils occur a total of 116 times in our King James Bible, 4 times in the Old Testament, and 112 times in the New Testament. Satan occurs 56 times in our King James Bible, 19 times in the Old Testament, and 37 times in the New Testament. The terms evil spirits and unclean spirits are used many times throughout the Bible. Suffice it to say that an unclean spirit is the manifestation of the presence of the devil or his devils. The term evil spirits is used 14 times in the King James Bible. The term unclean spirits is used a total of 21 times in our Bible. America is consumed with evil spirits, unclean spirits, and devils. Most of the political and religious organizations in America are under the control of the spirit of Antichrist. America is chock full of devils in control of religious entities and government organizations that advocate for sodomy, abortion, and transgenderism. Anyone who takes a knife to a child in a vain attempt to change their gender should be executed. It is the most satanic form of child abuse on the face of the earth. It is at its very best torture. In my mind, I have great difficulty deciding what is more wicked, murdering a child in the womb or mutilating them sexually in order to make them conform to some devil's idea of what their gender should be. It is God that decides the gender of an individual at the moment of conception. The devils who call themselves surgeons are attempting to preempt God's decision that was made at conception. No amount of carving on a child with a knife will change their DNA. Another manifestation of the activity of devils in America is the almost routine mass murders that take place in America and the daily carnage that takes place in most American cities where babies in strollers and children in cars and in their homes are being murdered. Another manifestation of devils in our society is the rampant use of drugs in America. The legalization of marijuana in many states has led to an increase in drug-related and drug-induced violence and murders. There are no surprises there for anyone with half a brain or an ounce of spiritual discernment. Drugs are a tool of the devil that is promoted through the spirit of Antichrist. The book of Revelation refers to that obsession with the use of drugs as sorcery. The word that is translated sorcery in the book of Revelation is the same word we get our word pharmacy from. Drugs and sodomy are always associated with sorcery and idolatry, even in ancient pagan cultures. When you think sorcery, think Harry Potter, witchcraft, witches, wizards, wizardry, demons, devils, seances, Halloween, ghosts, ghouls, sodomy, and drugs, including alcohol. Many people blame the devil for making them sin. They will say that the devil made them do it. You may say the devil made you do it, but I guarantee you that God holds you responsible for your sin and not the devil. Many times the devil is blamed for making someone doubt their salvation. While that might rarely be true, it almost never is. Why would the devil make anyone doubt their salvation? If you're doubting your salvation, that is almost always the work of God the Holy Ghost. If you frequently have doubts concerning your salvation, you are either saved and in open sin, or you're still lost and on your way to hell. In either case, you are in danger of judgment if you do not repent. For the lost person, that means an eternity in hell fire. For the saved person, that means that God could take you to an early grave, because there is a sin unto death for the saved person, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. The New Testament sin unto death is akin to the presumptuous sin in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 12 and 13. While Satan is the great tempter, he cannot make you sin. While many blame the devil for their sin, the Bible has this to say in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man. But if every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And see the charge there in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16 says that the man is drawn away of his own lust. The devil has nothing to do with it. James says that it is our own lust that draws us away into sin. The devil may tempt us, but any sin that results from that temptation is our responsibility. We can overcome evil with good. We can overcome the devil if we resist him. We can overcome the devil by the sinless blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We can overcome the devil through the power of our testimony. Now let's take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 21, James 4, 7, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, and Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Romans 12, 21 says this, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. James 4, 7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 state this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. That, again, is Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. The greatest reason Christians can overcome the devil is the Lord Jesus Christ, because greater is the Lord Jesus Christ that is in you than any devil, including Satan himself. 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 state this, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. That's 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Even amongst today's almost total apostasy and wickedness, God still expects holy living from Christians. He expects us to be separated from the world and from sin. We're going to go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. That passage of scriptures is one of the strongest passages in the New Testament advocating separation of a Christian from the things of this world and the wicked people of this world. Let's start reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's second, excuse me, that is 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. In closing today, I'd like to remind you to live in holiness and live in peace, power, and victory. Live in sin and worldliness, and live in fear, weakness, and defeat. Live in holiness, and you will have what the power of God can do. Live in sin and worldliness, and you will have what the power of Satan and your flesh can do, that, and that is to rebel against God. That concludes our message for today. I want to thank you for joining us.